Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, yes, Jeffrey. We're going to be doing this thing like we always do every Monday at 5 p.m. Standard Time. And we got special guests that's going to be here this evening. We got three ladies that's going to bring it to you, talk to you about their books. We got Miss Robinson and Mary Robinson. And we also have Miss Lisa Barnes that's going to be here, as well as Miss Tanya Artist. So sit back and be listening to you. Learn something new. Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we are here today on this Monday, and it's right after the holiday, and everybody should be probably getting back at it. I'm sure that they were working hard and doing all kinds of stuff today since they partied all last week. But if you're in Kansas City, you know you got the All-Star game, and everybody's still partying this week. So tonight and tomorrow, they're going to be doing their thing right here in Kansas City. So that's what we're doing. But right now, we got some guests that's going to be coming on the show, and we're going to be talking with them in just a minute. But I just want to kind of let you know what's going on with me. You know, I got a new book that's dropping at the end of this month, so we're going to be getting that out there. That's Scandalous Motives 4, and it's going to get you as hot as always, because, you know, I like to keep it like that, and that's what we do in the world of Red Snapper. So that's that thing. So all I want to do right now is just give everybody a chance to get that. So if you want to get it, you know how to get it, and you can get it free for a little while. Then we're also going to be having it where you'll be able to get it for a limited time, like I said, free. And then after that, you'll be, you know, have to go ahead and get my money. You know, I need that. But anyway, just working with you guys, you know, it's all like that. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and see if we can bring in our ladies. First of all, we're going to bring in the ladies. I'm going to have them speak, and we're going to have them talk right now. So I want to start with Miss Robinson. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good? Is it okay down there? You said it was some bad weather down there. Is everything fine?
Yeah, it's trying to rain. It's trying to rain.
It's trying to rain. Where are you at? You're in Texas. What part of you?
I'm actually in Dallas. I'm in Dallas, and we use the term, as you say, it's hot like grease right now.
Well, you can cuss, baby. This is explicit radio, so you can say what the fuck you want to. This is Word Sexy Radio, so if you must express yourself, do that. It's okay.
Okay.
Just have to let you know that, because a lot of people, when they come on Word Sexy Radio, they, you know, they want to say what they want to say, but they just so used to doing all these other shows, they just, you know, they just know, you know, you can do what you want to on this show. So just
right.
Know that. So, Mika, how are you this evening? Miss Mika Bond.
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am fine. And where are you calling from?
Palm Beach County, Florida.
Oh, man. So you down in Florida. So how's it going down in that area?
Oh, the weather is lovely. I mean, it's much nicer than it is in the Northeast. You know, they're a little hotter than we are. We're used to the heat.
Right.
But, you know, we're pretty good in the 80s and 90s.
Okay. So what I'm going to do right now, because Miss Artis isn't here yet, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with Miss Robinson, and we're going to get started with you. It's Pinella, right?
Pinelli.
Okay, I'm sorry, baby. Okay, so we want you to go ahead and tell everybody who you are and kind of let them know how you got into the literary game and what's your projects you have out now and what you've been working with.
Okay. Well, I'm an urban fiction author, and I'm self-published, so I'm kind of pushing it and doing it all on my own. But my first book that I have out currently is A Diamond in the Rough, The Life of Cheyenne Starr. And what made me write that book, it first started out as, you know, just doing something, and it grew into a passion. So I have other books that I've started. My next book that should be coming out this fall is Vengeful Karma. It's the actual sequel to the first book. And that one, I'm proud of that one. It's going to push better, and it is better and hotter than, you know, my first book that I have out. But basically, the first one is going through first person through my character, Cheyenne Starr, and she's a vixen. Is based out of here, you know, based out of Dallas, and she just goes back and forth talking about her life. There's a bunch of drama in there, and it's a group of friends that, you know, they all face problems in their life. But Cheyenne, she kind of gets hit hard because it all started with, like, a mysterious phone call in the night. And from there, it's, like, drama all the way to the last page. And actually, the last page is the most peaceful page of it all.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, So she goes through a lot of shit, huh? So
yeah, she goes through a lot of shit. She takes it, though. You know, that's what women do. We go through shit and we take it.
I know.
We come out of it strong. We come out of it very strong.
So tell me, and I know you get this question all the time when you do book signings and everything, how much of this character is from you or someone that you know or some, you know, pieces that you have taken? Because, you know, everybody that writes, no matter what you write, whatever genre you're in, a little piece of it is somewhere, some part of you that's in there, even though it's fiction and you're making up the character and all that. How much is that you?
I'd say probably about 60%. 60% of it is me because with the problems she go through, I took some of my problems and kind of spiced it up, and it just, it's about 60%. 60% of it is me.
Okay. And you sound very passionate about this book, which I am definitely, I'm sorry I didn't read before the show, but I definitely want to get a copy of it, so I'm going to definitely do that. She seems to be very dear to you, this character. When you created this character, how hard was it to you to get this character to come to life on the pages? Go ahead, baby. You can bring it out. Just bring it on out.
I know. She goes through a lot of stuff, off in the book, and
don't tell the book, but I'm just saying, it was some shit putting her together, wasn't it?
I mean, I would love to read some of it to you, let you know how it starts off.
You can, if you want to do that. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
You have it with you right now?
I sure do.
Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and read us a piece of it and then kind of explain it to us.
Okay, well, let's see. Suddenly out of nowhere, while trying to get a little sleep before starting another day in the life of a true diva, my phone begins to ring faintly in the background. Ring, 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 the phone chirps out. Just as the bitch was about to finish up a dream on a beach in the Dominican Republic, drinking a nice tall glass of Long Island tea, with this fine-ass brother serving it to me. Everything was brought to a halt as I began to hear the phone ring again. Damn. Just as I was getting ready to be dirty in this little hole, be this dirty little hole in this good-ass dream. It's sad when you can't even get broke off in a dream because someone in the real world disturbs you in a fantasy they were never invited into. Ring, 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 the phone rings again. Rolling over, I look up at the alarm clock, which displays on the ceiling the time 4:15 a.m. Okay, maybe that's going a tad bit too far, but the clock, but I have to have it when I see. I saw it in Nordstrom's last Christmas while out shopping for a last-minute present. I pause, wondering to myself, now who in the hell could be calling me at this time of morning, and whoever it is, better make sure it's a damn good excuse for it. Shit begins to knock over as I roll around trying to search for my clock. Ring, ring, ring. The phone continues on as I finally find the cell phone to flip it open to see who the hell is calling at this time of morning. Hello? I answer in a groggy tone, trying to brace myself for whoever it is. Click. The line goes dead. Fuck it. A bitch was tired and going back to sleep. And basically from there, it's like she has this mystery chick who's after her. And I know all females have a phone call they've gotten like one time in their life where it's another bitch calling them, approaching them about a dude. And that basically got started out with Cheyenne. But Cheyenne wasn't messing around with anybody else. You know, she has her lifestyle where she's this big-time CEO who has her own company. And she's getting ready to do, like, this big lunch. And now she's just to have to face drama with having to deal with that and then also trying to get her product out there. And it goes back and forth in first person, you know, talking about her life. And then she has about seven or eight other characters off in the book that it goes into talking about, too.
All right. Well, that sounds pretty good. And like I said, we like how you took that, and yeah, you took the characters, and we also know that it's hard when you create characters because a lot of times, you know, sometimes we do put ourselves, pieces of us in it, and we know we get that question all the time that, people always ask, how much is really you? So I know you've been doing these book signings, and I'm sure that people have asked that question. So, but what I want to do right now, I want to pick it, is before you respond back, I want to go ahead and bring in Miss Sonia Artis. How are you this evening?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Well, we're glad to have you on the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Okay. All right, so what we're doing right now is I want you to go ahead and all you ladies kind of introduce yourselves to each other. We have Miss Robin Fennelly Robinson, and we have Miss Mika Barnes, and y'all meet Miss Sonia Artis.
Hello, ladies. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
How's everybody?
And we also have my co-host, D.V. Hintz. Say hello to the ladies, D.V.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, D.V.
Hey.
That was kind of slight. What you doing? You want me to do the Batman song already? Come on, man. Well, we're glad to have everybody on the show, and I'm glad that everybody made it back in the fourth safely. So we just finished up with Miss Penelope Robinson giving us a little synopsis of her book, and she read a little bit from it. And how, if somebody want to get your book, how can they get your book?
It's currently on Amazon.com, and it's also on BarnesandNobles.com too.
Okay.
And I would love people to get a copy of it and support me. I guarantee you, it's a great read. You will not be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And
what's the name
around
of your book?
Ready for the
second. Came in late.
It's A Diamond in the Rough.
Okay. Diamond in
what's
the Rough.
What's
okay
the name of the book?
It's A Diamond in the Rough, The Life of Cheyenne Starr. C-H-I-A-N-A.
Okay.
C-A-R-R.
Like, okay, so Ms. Robinson, you were just reading your excerpt, right?
Right, I was reading a partial part of it.
Okay, like, not to take anything away from it, but you kind of did the same thing that almost all of us do, especially with our first few books. You
mm-hmm
described the scene by telling it rather than showing it. You know what I'm saying? And that's not a hit on you, because we've all done that. Hell, I still do it, and I got to get knocked upside the head. But sometimes whenever you're describing a scene, you want to describe it through your character's eyes rather than tell the reader what's going on, because now we're into the story. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's all I wanted to say, because we've all made that mistake, and like I said, I still get smacked upside the head. But I have somebody who kind of introduced me into showing instead of telling. So, like, if you can get somebody to do that, you know, it will make your story just that much more intriguing.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not talking down to your story, only because it's like this. I know how it is. I was right there where you are, you know. But sometimes whenever you reread your own story, you yourself see things like, okay, maybe I could have said something different. You know, it's as an author, it's something we all do. But
right,
first and foremost, once you get, like, you know, you kind of want to explain it through the eyes of the character rather than tell it through the eyes of the character. You know, and that's about as far as I can go with it, because I can't tell you what the character will see. Only you can do that.
Right.
Yes, so just so we can go a little further with the show, you know, just so y'all know, DV is my man, and DV is the author of Valentine. And what else did you write, DV? Because you got so many projects out there, man. You got Untapped, which is an anthology that you did, and sexual anthology and all that. And he's pretty good at the literary world. And we not to hurt anyone, we're here to help. For those that are listening out there and out there listening, that are aspiring to write, we definitely want to help you as well. And anybody wants to call in for questions, remember, it's 347-215-8539. This is Real Sick Radio. So we're going to continue going on forth. And right now, I want to just say that this is going to get a little hot. So I'm going to let y'all know right now. It's starting out slow. Mika, we're going to get you in a minute. Robin, I know, how many interviews, is this like your first or second, how many interviews have you had, Robin?
This is actually my second video interview, my second one. I'm kind of nervous, but I'm
let me tell you something, too. Let me tell you something right now. You got to relax on this show, because we talk shit, so I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to do that, so you can be yourself, okay? Don't worry,
all right,
about
I see.
It. You're going to be fine, just chill out. Nobody's here to hurt you or harm you. Okay, we're here to help and have fun. So, with that, Mika, what the fuck's up with you, baby? What's going on with you?
Everything is everything. It's all about pushing this book and, you know, getting the promotion behind it and getting that wheel moving to actually build up momentum and continue into the year with the release of the sequel, Caramel Addiction, and a few other projects I have in store.
Okay, so tell everybody how you got in the literary game and what's up with you, how you got here, and what inspired you.
Well, I've actually been a writer all my life, from the aesthetic of music, stories, poetry, the whole nine. So for me, to transition into actually writing a full-length novel was something that was a little easier for me to do. I mean, it came to the point where I would rather tell my story than something more than 16 bars. So yeah, that's how it sort of came about for me.
Hmm. I see. You're about business. Okay. I see. All right. That's good. So what book number is this one if you have one that we're talking about now?
Somebody closing a screen door?
Damn, I don't know. Somebody must be closing the door. Okay. Let's get this thing going here, because y'all got to bring some momentum here. It's just, it's a little loose. It's not loose enough like I want it to be. It seems it's a little tight. Normally
well,
by now, Joe,
you're talking to people,
thing.
You're feeding them.
Oh, am I feeding them? Okay. Well,
feeding them, so they're responding.
Okay.
Let me loosen it up a little bit for you.
Oh,
I get asked.
I know that was Sonya. And when I get to her, I'm gonna let it go. Okay. Which I know right now. So. Go ahead, Mickey. Go on, do your thing. Finish it up.
Okay. Let me loosen it up a little bit for you. You know, maybe this will just help out. I get asked a lot, so how did you come up with the title Chocolate High? What is Chocolate High? You know, that type of thing.
Now, I heard that in a song, but I know that's not where it came from, so tell me about it.
No, that's not where it came from at all. It's actually the character's description of her name. So, Chocolate High and Caramel Addiction. Those are like her little pet names for the men involved in her life. So this poem is written from the character's aspect, but I think it describes clearly and breaks it down to where there are no other questions as to what is a chocolate high. I start by asking myself a simple question. What is chocolate high? I think about it and examine those words. What is chocolate high? Chocolate high is an elevation beyond ecstasy. It's the moment between the climax building and the strokes that follow as I scream stop but plead internally for him to keep going. It's the intoxication of his cologne as I inhale his scent after nibbling on his ear and working my way down to his neck like, where is this going next? I'm losing control but still in control, grinding my way through a place of imaginary drums with every stroke he strums, heaven's violins making music while all the while still going in deep. Putting that ass to sleep, simultaneously slapping his feet. Suddenly his euphoria peaks, high, high, higher than high. My chocolate high, I don't want to come down. My chocolate high, I don't want to come down. I'm so high, I'll get hard, rich, happy, love.
Okay. So you want to bring it like that. Okay. All right, good. I like that. Okay, so that's what chocolate high is. Okay.
That's what chocolate high is.
So, how much is that to you in your life? How much chocolate high you get? That's what I want to know.
Let's just say I'm happily married, have been for a number of years, and my sweet tooth is well taken care of.
You let me tell you something. When you say happily married and all that, that's great. All that, I ain't said nothing to you. You couldn't be married to get that, but... I mean, I don't know why people do that when they're married and they're happily married. They want to make sure, like, I'm happily married. And
you can
chocolate high
if
you're
married.
No, it's not even necessary because I mean, you could want that high from a fix, or you could want that high to where it's permanently a fix. I'm just letting you know that I have the permanent.
I get the word permanent. I get it. Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad that you're happily married and that you got that.
I'm
going to
say
that
the chocolate box is not just on Valentine's Day. Let's just put
It goes like this. If they don't throw that happily in there, it makes it sound like unfortunate. Unfortunately, you know, if you don't say I'm happily married, it's kind of like, well, unfortunately, I'm married. So, you know, you got to throw that in there. It's like,
because
it's obligatory.
From a brother who's been unfortunately married before, I know the deal on that shit. We don't let you know how that shit is. All right.
Jump on that train.
Okay, so if people want to get your book, Mika, how can they get it?
They can get my website at mikabarnes.com. It's also available at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and anywhere books are sold.
Okay. All right, well, I'll tell you what. You definitely going to have to get your book, too, since you broke it down like that. And I got your book, actually. You sent it to me the other day.
I sure did.
Yeah, I got your book. I'm talking shit. But anyway, I'm
going
to have to read that, Mom. That's the reason. Oh, yeah. I mean, we can
Find the books on it, so. My little tagline, per se, is I make drama sexy. So it's a lot of sexy, it's a lot of heat, it's a lot of fire up through the book, but it's also real. I try to keep every character, every situation involved in the character real to the perspective that the reader can actually relate to it and say, damn, you talked about me? You know what I mean? So I just try to keep it relatable and, you know, on that level where everybody can relate to it.
Well, that's good. And I know that you do that, and I'm sure that Nelly does the same thing. And like I said, when you create these characters, it's very important in character development that you make them as real as possible. And the only way to do that is, of course, you know, you got to take some elements of things you may have seen, some things from your own self or whatever, to bring that to life. And that's what we try to do as authors when we do that. So I really appreciate that. So
Definitely.
And we're going to be talking more about your books. I'm trying to give everybody a chance in this first hour to kind of get their stuff out, because in the second hour we're gonna go ham and shit. So I'm gonna tell you right now, we're gonna be talking shit because I got some shit to probably be about. But anyway, Sonya Artis, this is a special
red snapper.
This lady is so special because she writes for a company that is outstanding. It's called Midwest Publishing Group, and I'm gonna let her talk about it. Go ahead, Sonya.
What do you want me to talk about, Midwest or my books?
I want you to talk about you. We'll get on Midwest.
Have you no shame, sir. Have you no shame.
Excuse me? What was that, Bebe?
I said, have you no shame? Shame
he
of
has
plug.
No shame.
Right?
He has
shame
no
of
shame. Plug. Midwest Publishing Group happens to belong to me. Oh, I'm sorry. It is my company, ain't it? Damn. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sonya.
All right. So my first book, Vanessa's Choice, all my books are autobiographies. They're about me. And so they're written in first person. My first book, Vanessa's Choice, is about a young lady being wild in the world, partying, drinking, boyfriend, ends up pregnant second time, homeless, has to figure out what she's going to do with her life while she's in the hospital with this second baby, ends up giving him up for adoption, and everything goes to hell after that. You think hell is there before, but hell breaks out afterwards. That's the basis of the first book, Vanessa's Choice. I got a lot of play after that book that I wasn't expecting and kind of didn't want it in the beginning, but I've been on LA Talk Radio. I've been to the Mother Love Show. I've got requests from the Oprah Network, from Dr. Phil. We've done about 30 radio shows. I've been on the TV 4 times. In Step Red Snapper. My second book was about the drop. It's called The Beginning, Troubled Youth, Adoption, Death, and Resurrection. Because after my first book, people wanted to know, during my speaking engagements, I do a lot of speaking engagements, what made me the way I was. Because I was really mean in my first book. I fought a lot, didn't have really a lot of cares in the world. But I went back and wrote my second book about my youth. What made me as combative as I was, and what made me, you know, just the person I was, highly intelligent, but like a little firecracker, because I'm not a big person, just a little firecracker. So the second book came out. I did sign with Midwest Publishing, and since then I've even gotten more play. I've got a couple of speaking engagements coming up this month out of state, got a few book signings. You can find my book anywhere, any and everywhere. If you just Google my name, you'll probably get about 2 or 3 pages of stuff. Just been blessed with the way these books took off because I wasn't doing anything to promote them. I got a manager, and he just ran with it. And then, of course, Midwest jumped on that bandwagon, and they've been godsends.
Well, thank you very much for telling us about you. Because you do have a unique story, and that's what drew me. And I was glad that, and I'm going to say this, even though I cuss all the time, y'all, I do believe in God. I'm glad that God put us together on this. Because because believe it or not, I mean, this woman has been through so many things, and, you know, I'm just glad to be part of the journey that she's going on with her writing and her, you know, going out and speaking engagement and helping people about the things that she's been through. The books are selling like cake, like water. I mean, she's making money. She's going to be making money. The stuff's coming out. It's doing well. And, you know, it's just, she's just got a phenomenal story. So if you haven't got a chance to read somebody else's stuff besides your own, I would highly suggest that you read hers, not because she pulled it through, but because she has a great story. Okay, I hear some feedback in the background. Who is that?
He's
kind
of breaking up.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I think that might be Cotton. Cotton, are you here?
Yes, I am. I didn't know you guys could hear me already. Jeez.
Is that feedback in the background?
That's
somebody talking to GPA or somebody.
Hey, GPA. Yeah, that was GPA back there in the back. How are you?
Well, Ms. Cotton, how are you doing? We're glad to
I'm
have
fabulous,
you
fabulous. Fabulous. How are you?
Now, we're doing fine. I want you to speak to all our guests today. We have Ms. Tanelli Robinson, Ms. Mika Barnes, and Ms. Sonia Artis, and they're all authors. We have three authors. That's right. They are here on the show, and they're talking about their books.
Okay. How are you ladies doing?
We're great. How are you?
Okay. We heard the feedback, but I'm going to let Sonia get you kind of finish talking because she was kind of interrupted because goddamn GPA back there hollering and shit.
He's just passionate.
Sonia, do you have anything else you want to say real quick, maybe?
Not really. This is different for me. I wanted to see how this was going to go. You've been trying to get me on this show for, like, ever.
I'm going to tell you something. We don't do it like everybody else. Talk shit.
It's all right. It's all right.
That's why I don't put out questions and all that. I do that intentionally because I want people to shoot from the hip. Like, when we start asking questions, which I hope DV got them questions, which I know he don't. But
DV is busy, sir.
I wish that he had the questions so we can bring them to you guys, because we always do this. But we always like to shoot from the hip and get people to come back with from their heart, you know, what they think about issues that we talk about. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes we talk about, you know, things that may be going on, you know, in the world. You know, what's been really happening is that Steve Harvey book, been talking about that. You know, just relationships, period, because we're trying to get some authors together, just so y'all know that we're going to be doing a it's kind of like an anthology, but it's not an anthology. We're going to be doing a kind of a collaboration book on relationships, and it's going to be called Understanding Your Partner or Understanding Your Mate, and there's going to be another title that goes with that, too. We're just trying to put it together. And we want to kind of talk about different things and not a how-to get-over-on-your-mate game book like Steve Harvey's book or something that, like The Maintenance Man or something like my man Michael Bazin. But we want to put out something that can actually help you with relationships. And not that we're the experts because we don't have degrees and all of that in that aspect, but just to kind of give people a chance to talk about things. Because if people would just talk, you know, we can get them – to do a lot of things that they would just talk, because I'm tired of the way our relationships are portrayed in movies. You know, we're always got the woman that's always got her neck going back and forth, and the hard woman, and the man can't handle her. And, you know, we get tired of seeing all that shit because it ain't like that all the damn time. You know,
not like that at all over here.
you know what I'm saying. So I mean, you know, they always portray that in movies. The woman is hard. You know, like we'll use Tyler Perry's movie for example. That Why Did I Get Married? You know, every time when the woman, she was going off on her husband. He's sitting there, he can't say a word because she's talking all this, and he can't, you know, is that true? Is that life? You know, so we wanted to really come up with something that shows how you make it about your mate, you know. You know, if you make it about your mate, they'll make it about you, you know. And it's just how you treat people. You know, people want to be treated, and communication and all that. That's where we want to go with that. So we definitely want to be working in that arena. So, Cotton, what's going on with you? You've been touring the country here and doing your poetry, so how's that working out?
It's actually, things are going well. We just left the NAACP Arthur Pavilion in Houston.
Right.
You in Houston, and I'm just not knowing about it. I will stab you in your throat twice.
That's crazy. crazy because you know you're in
Texas.
Hey, you know he's asking down there. What the hell is
you're
that
in
about?
My backyard.
I didn't know you were in Houston.
Yes.
Well, he's in Texas.
Oh.
Why you didn't?
He's in that state.
Well, I thought he was maybe in Dallas or somewhere. I didn't remember that he was in Houston.
I'm in Houston.
Wow. Why you didn't
That's
come
right.
down to
us? We'll talk
I'm gonna
about
let y'all.
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to go ahead on with the show because y'all going to be talking shit in a few minutes and cussing and all that. Anyway, but what I'm going to do right now is I want to, like I said, we're going to get a subject. Now, DV, what have we not talked about? Because, you know, we talk about different things on the show. And what's been bothering you since we talked last?
Well, like. All right, you want to straight up, like, I have a teenager for a son, right? And my son doesn't have a cell phone. So, and that's by design, because I feel like my philosophy is this. When you can afford a cell phone, you can get a cell phone. You know what I'm saying? So I had this long discussion with, like, five other people on when kids should get cell phones. So I was like, you know, everybody had a different varying answer. One lady got an 8-year-old with a cell phone. I'm like, you know, you can't be serious, but... Yeah, that's kind of one of the things that's been weighing on me, you know. The only difference, people tell me, well, you know, if your son ain't got a cell phone, this, that, and the other. I said the only difference between me and my parents is that I'm older now. You know, when I grew up, we didn't have cell phones. It was, look, you be here by this time, you do this by this time, you know what I'm saying? And if you don't buy a house, then you getting smashed. And that was just pretty
you
much it.
Had I'm not before the casino went down.
Right. But that's my thing. You know what I'm saying? So I follow that same strict order. You know, I'm a single parent, so, you know, I'm kind of raising my son by myself. But understand this. If everybody says, well, look, if he gets in danger, you know, maybe he can call you. Well, this is the thing. You should never be by yourself, period. You know, you should always be, number one, you should always be with a group of people. Number two, if somebody trying to kidnap you, the last thing you're going to be able to do is make a phone call. You know, so my, you know, black people got 2 speed, walking fast and hauling ass. What happened to that? You know, get out of the dangerous way and do what you're supposed to do. So that just basically been, like, because I just lost my cell phone. And I didn't, you know, it didn't make me too much a difference. I just bought, like, a new one yesterday. So what? You know, after, like, a week without having one. So, I mean, I don't see why it's so important for kids to have cell phones. They're not grown. They're not, and it basically takes responsibility out of their parents' hands. You know,
okay,
the kids do whatever they want to do with whoever they want to do it with, sexting, texting, whatever it may be. Now you can't be a parent because there's another avenue for them to get into trouble.
Oh.
All right. Well, you know what? You sound like you're a really good parent, you know, from what you're saying. So I would think that your son would probably be more responsible. My son has a cell phone, and the reason he has a cell phone is because if he's outside, playing, like if he's down the street or 2 blocks over, I don't want to have to go look for him or have him run home just so I can make sure that he's all right or he's doing what he said or where is he right now, because sometimes 1 block turns into two blocks turns into three. And
right.
I'm not trying to promote you her your son having a phone. I'm just saying that these are the reasons why, as a single parent, I'm more of a worrier. I want to know who's around him, where is he right now. You know, okay, you're not on the block anymore. Now you're at somebody's house, and I know the neighbor. That's cool, okay, but what are you doing at the neighbor's house, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's that kind of thing for me as a single mom that makes me feel better and it's more secure that I can pick up the phone and call rather than having to walk down. Because my mother used to have to walk around looking for me if I hit the corner, and she maybe forgot that I hit the corner, or maybe she didn't know that I hit the corner because I went around to my friends, you know, stuff like that. But even with those phones, they now have the tracking system in them. If you turn on their location, if something happens, then the police has an easier time finding where the last place they were.
But see, this is the thing, Kai. Like, every child kidnapper already knows that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a big secret. But first and foremost, if you're going to go somewhere, you let me know first. I don't want to, you know, you come to the house and you let me know and you ask. You know what I'm saying? If you're going off by yourself, you know what I'm saying, then we don't have an understanding. All right, if I know where you are, I don't have a problem with that. You come and
well,
let me know.
Well, listen here.
This is fine.
But you know, part of being mature means taking care of what you need to take care of. If you're man enough to come to the house and say, "Look, is it cool if I go from my, you know, go with my friends to this place?" Now I know you're responsible because you came back to the house and let me know. Second of all, I know where you at. So if something goes down, I know where to find you. You know, just because, you know, it makes it easier by having a cell phone doesn't make it right.
Okay, go
you
ahead.
You know, it kind of
omits
that responsibility aspect.
Okay. Sonia?
Okay.
Okay.
I understand what both of you are saying. I could never tell somebody else when their kid should have a phone. That's up to the parent. If they never have a phone, my brother, I have a 15-year-old nephew, he doesn't have a phone. My 14-year-old daughter got her first phone when she was 8, but there's a reason. She was visiting her father. He lives in Atlanta. And when she was there, I would call for her. He would not let her talk to me. So I fixed that. Next time she went, I made sure I had her a phone for her to be able to talk to me whenever she needed to. When she's home, the phone is put up because we don't spend a lot of time talking on phones at home. We don't spend a lot of time in front of the TV. My daughter's 14, but I bet you I know everywhere she is all the time. On the flip side, I travel and so does she. She sings. So she's in a little singing group and they travel. I want to make sure she can call me whenever she needs to, for whatever she needs. If she's not being treated right, I'm going to get her. If she is somewhere and she's feeling uncomfortable, I'm going to get her. But I need to make sure she can contact me whenever she needs to. Other than that, when she's home and I'm home, we're both in the same city, we're not on the phone. And if I know she's down the street, I'll walk down the street and get her, or I'll jog down the street and get her. If she doesn't come home in, I mean, it's summertime. So I have a brother who lives on the same block as me. So we always know where our kids are all the time. Even at 14, she's not allowed to go in anybody's house if I don't know them. And even if she does,
right,
she's got to tell me, "Hey, Mom, I'm going in Jenny's house. Is that all right?" I don't play it any other way. Any other way, there's too many pedophiles and too many other things going on in this world for her to just go in anybody's house at any time. So, but that's my opinion.
Okay, let me say something real quick before y'all go further in the conversation. There's some feedback that's going on. If we can please kind of get that feedback to, you know, kind of see where that's coming from so we can kind of get a better, clearer reception of what's going on so everybody can kind of speak. Now, do any of the other ladies have anything to say?
Yeah, I have something to say. This may throw you a little off kilter, but my son has had a cell phone since he was 5 years old. Now, there is a reason behind that. With the way things happen in the schools and here in Florida, they may do it everywhere, they do what's called a school lockdown. I don't know if your child has ever participated in a school lockdown, but that's where something is going on outside of the school that you have no control over. You don't know what's going on the inside of the school. So if my child has a way to contact me at any point in time, and he is responsible enough, now he's 12, but he is responsible enough to know when to use the phone and not.
Okay.
Anybody yeah, my son went through that same thing, and he was able to text me from the school to say, "Mom, the school did a lockdown." Of course, the parents don't find out till after the fact that it's happened, because then they send out a letter to all the parents the next day to let you know that, hey, the school had a lockdown. But at that moment, you don't know what's going on because they'll delay everything in telling you. So my son texts me and say, "Hey, Mom, we're having a lockdown at school right now." And I'm like, "Oh, my God, what's, you know, now I got to try to find out what's going on at that moment, opposed to having to wait the next day to find out that my son's life was in danger possibly." You know, so, yeah.
I mean, everywhere my son goes, I go. You know what I'm saying? Not in that sense, you know, around the city, but definitely out of town. Hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
All right, because I heard the boot, you know, I'm like, what the hell is that? But,
well, yeah,
anytime my son goes out of town, I'm always there. Why? Number one, to support whatever it is he's doing. Number two, because, like I said, you can't trust everybody. And as a parent, my first responsibility is him, you know. So I'm not going to allow him to go out of town without somebody I trust,
You know, that's just me being a parent, you know what I'm saying, especially me being a single dad. Number two, like, I mean, I can't speak for anybody else's circumstances. I stay in the burbs, you know, and that's by design. I'm not going to, you know, because I'm well off right now, I can afford to put my son and myself in a position where our schools ain't being locked down, you know. But we, even when I was in school, you know, some 20, 30 years ago, you know, we had bomb scares, you know. We had people bringing guns, knives, drugs, whatever it was. They were still bringing them to school. You know, everybody got out to school. You know what I'm saying? They made sure the police come through. Everybody been went back to school. I have never, in all honesty, heard of them locking kids in the school. That's kind of like, what the hell are you doing? If the danger's in the school, why are you locking them in the school? So because I haven't been privy to that, I haven't had anybody to cuss out about it. But like I said, I, as a responsible parent, I want to know where my son is at all times, you know. And like I said, a piece of technology kind of, like, we're all talking about once in a lifetime or once every so often instances, but on a regular instances, if a child can take advantage of a situation, they will. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be text or whether it be pictures, you know, I can't, you know, what was that? Somebody breaking up on me. Sweetie, you breaking up. I can barely hear you.
A child will take advantage of the situation depending upon the child.
Right, but it doesn't matter because you know what? If your friends are doing it and they're not getting caught, chances are you're going to try to do it.
I don't believe that. Whether you get caught or not, I don't agree with that at all. But we've all taken it.
We've all done it. We've all taken advantage of something because friends did it. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be drinking, smoking, even sex. Peer pressure is a mighty thing. And no matter how strong you think your child is,
let me ask this question, then I'm going to see if the caller wants to speak. What is having a phone going to do that's going to stop him from doing or whatever, I mean, that he can't do by having a phone? I mean,
ultimately,
I don't get
that. Ultimately, this. If I was going to sleep with some female,
I still did it anyway, where it was, you know,
But think about it this way. Whenever we wanted to see porn, what do we have to do to get a magazine? You know what I'm saying? A Playboy magazine. We had to find somebody whose dad had a subscription to Playboy.
But the thing is, it took a massive amount of effort.
So you're saying having a phone makes less effort than he's going to do it? So get him a cell phone with no internet. If you're scared he's going to look at porn, get him a cell phone with no internet.
Better yet, if I couldn't have a phone when I was a kid, if I wanted to do something wrong, that would give me more opportunity because my dad or mom can't find me anyway.
It comes down to this. When you can do wrong or the opportunity is presented to do more wrong, you usually take advantage of that. And that's what it is. It lessens the amount of responsibility.
Okay. I understand I even get what you're saying, but I think that just like with the lady, I don't know who it was that just said it, though. It's just like, you know, when we didn't have a way for them to really check us, it seemed like it was easier for us to do it because they couldn't. It seemed like having a phone would make it more easier for them to try to catch you or whatever. But let me see if this person with area code 252, if you have a question, don't hang up if you don't. State your name and everything. Do you have a question?
Hey, sound like they hung up.
You hung up. I don't know why people get scared when I do that. If they don't have anything to say, they don't have to hang up. I don't get that. But anyway, anybody else?
My son started off with a prepaid cell phone, so there was no internet on the phone.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, I hear you just fine.
Okay, hold on. Let me say this before you go. Before y'all get to talking, I'm trying to promote the number and everything that. You guys have ended this conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just trying to see if anybody wants to call in. The number is 347-215-8539. It's the Word Sexy Radio. And I understand that this is a hot topic about children with cell phones. When should they get one? I'm glad you guys are talking about that because, you know, we talk about a lot of things on the show, and it don't have to always be sexual, but I think we can talk about family and stuff too as well. So, and we also have special guests. We have Miss Robin
Penelope Robinson, we have Mika Barnes and Sonia Artis. I hope they're all still here. And we're here talking and discussing this topic, and we'll probably get into some more stuff too. We got about 5 minutes, and I'm going to put on an intermission song, and then we'll go from there the last hour. But go ahead, Cotton. I know you had something to say. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that my son started off with a prepaid cell phone so that he couldn't get on the Internet. And I'm going to tell you, he made an hour last a whole month because he knew that his minutes were an hour last a whole month. I was very proud of him. So for the first 6 months, that's what he had because he was able to manage his minutes well. And then I got him a regular cell phone. And then he's proven since that he's responsible. But my children, and I'm not bragging about this, but my children have so much fear in them that they're afraid to step outside of certain boundaries when it comes to me. And then my youngest, who's 14, who has cell phones, he doesn't want to disappoint me in any way. That's how he's always been.
Because you're a hard-ass motherfucker, that's why. No. Amen. We know how you are, Cotton. So they ain't gonna step out on you because they won't have a life. Okay.
I mean, I'm not that bad.
Yes, she is. I heard you.
We are all as bad as our parents.
I heard
we are all as bad as our parents. But this is the truth. We are all as bad as our parents. But this is the one thing. As growing up, we did things behind our parents' back, even though they patted us on the back. Because me, I was a straight A student. You know, but I was also, you know, kind of doing stuff behind my parents' back. Even my parents were really strict, and there wasn't a lot of things that I did. There were very few things that I got away with. You know what I'm saying? Because my parents were always on top of it.
Is that why you are the way with your son? No, I'm
the way I am. The thing is
that why you're the way you are with your son because you know.
The thing is, what I've learned is technology left
the
responsibility of the parents.
That's what it
sounds
like. Becky knows what he would have done.
This is my feeling. Technology lessens the responsibility of the parent to be responsible, and that's what I'm seeing.
That's
overwhelming.
Partially true.
Now, in these three cases of you ladies, it may be the exact counter. It may be the exact antithesis. But overwhelmingly, technology kind of
come at
responsibility out of the parent.
Right. Yeah. Didn't I tell y'all DD was gonna be that easy dude that don't do shit? Didn't I tell y'all that?
What it is
but
with technology
because
is you
always
have to know more than your children know. Even if they think they're getting over, you have to know how to check those text messages. You have to know how to check those deleted messages.
But remember,
you have to know how to
you were a
you
kid,
know, monitor Facebook
parents,
and things like that.
But remember, when you were a kid, your parents couldn't even work the VCR. And we did it automatically. You know, it was just something. Mm-hmm. Their thing is we're always going to be behind our kids as far as technology is concerned. You know, I had on my computer, you know what I'm saying, I have, you know, stuff that keeps my son from watching flicks. And if it goes, you know, and every time his friends come in like, hey, you should see this website, it lets me know. You know what I'm saying? So I'm there to knock him upside the head. And be like, look,
DB,
you know, they have to be able to get you in trouble.
You worried about your boy seeing some porn, man?
My son is 15, man. My son is 15.
I'm sure he's seen more than that.
You worried about him seeing some porn? Is that what this is about? Not having a phone and
no.
all that? Some goddamn.
It has nothing to do with that. But what I'm saying is, it enables children to get the things that they shouldn't get.
How much porn do you have in your house, BB?
Before they're responsible enough to understand what they are. Like all I'm hearing is fading in and fading out.
Hang up in a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sonia.
Okay, I couldn't, sweet bread. I couldn't even hear what you said, man.
Somebody else's phone.
Oh, all
right. I'm just wondering what kind of conversations you have with your son. That's something I have an open. We have, and I'm nothing like my parents. Absolutely nothing. You keep saying we're our parents. I'm nothing like my mom or my dad. I am my own person, and I actually fixed my relationship with my kids, what was wrong with me and my parents. And I had freedom to do anything and everything as I grew up. I didn't do the smoking, the drugs, the drinking, the sex, none of that. But I have an open relationship with my daughters. We sit and we talk. I have a 22-year-old. We have conversations. We've had them since she was younger. It seems like your son, I mean, just from what you're saying, what freedoms does he have? Because as they get older, you want them to be able to give them a little bit more freedom so they can make a little, I'm not saying give them the world, but, I mean, once my kid's got a certain age, you're not a baby. So I'm going to give you a little bit more freedom and a little bit more freedom. But you've got locks on the TV just to make sure he doesn't watch anything. Where's the trust there? He can't have a phone.
I didn't say I had locks on the TV.
You got to go everywhere he goes. And I'm just curious. Do you guys sit down
this
and
is,
have these conversations?
This is the difference between me and you.
All right.
We are all examples of our parents because that's how we learn to be parents, through our parents. So as much as you try to say that you're not, you're a shining example. Now, maybe you did some things counter what your parents did. That's perfectly fine. But understand this. As a single parent, my job and my responsibility is to make sure that he is raised. Number one, there's already black men doing things wrong. You know what I'm saying? They're constantly belittled. They're constantly berated. So, number one, my responsibility is to fill his head with as much knowledge as I possibly can about the world. Second of all, I don't put locks on everything. You know what I'm saying? He has the freedom to do whatever he wants. But first of all, if you're going to do it, make me aware of it. Don't do it behind my back because now there's a lack of trust. If I'm going to let you know what's going on, I talk to him like a grown man. If there's something going on in my life,
let me say this real quick if I can. The way you made it sound when you explained it earlier, that there wasn't no communication, that you were just keeping him out of things, it made it seem like you wasn't giving him that freedom to be able to make those decisions or come to talk to you about it or that you were talking to him about it. That's
all
I
was talking about was the cell phone.
My thing is, okay, the cell phone, okay, whatever reason you don't want him to have one, okay, that's cool. But the thing is, getting back to what she was saying about talking and all this stuff with your son and all this, I mean, you should be wanting to be the one to bring that to him instead of him getting that out on the street. So, I mean...
That's my point exactly.
My father was around, alive at the time when I was getting up and learning about all these things because, you know, it's better that you bring it to them and let them see that exposure than for somebody on the street to give it to them. So I think that's what she's saying.
But, you know, and I understand that. But like I said, peer pressure is always going to be greater than parent pressure. At some point, each one of our kids is going to crack under it. My hope is, and like I tell him, when you crack, let it be something that you can at least fess up to and own responsibility to it than something that you try to run away from and act like it's not there. And that is all that I ask.
Okay. All right. Well, anybody else got another opinion on that?
Well, basically, at 15, he's already seen more than you thought he's seen anyway. And
which
you not
fine.
Wanting him to have a cell phone does not stop the fact that his friend may have a cell phone or he may be looking at whatever on their phone or whatever the case may be.
Or
so that's still going to be around.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But like I say, but understand this.
It's still
you know, even if your friend, like if my friend had a porno magazine, I can still see it, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go home and see the exact same thing. All I'm doing is minimizing the exposure.
Every parent
okay.
is entitled to their faith. I guess that's what it boils down to.
Exactly.
Right.
I agree.
Right. Okay. So y'all want to hit some other subject like, I definitely want to get into some relationship stuff because I know we always really do, and I like to do that when there's intelligent women on the show because we've had some intelligent women on the show, intelligent men on the show. We had some... I'm just going to go and say some dumbasses on this motherfucker. And since y'all seem to be very smart, you know, we always talk about the 90-day rule and the Steve Harvey stuff and all that. We don't have to talk about that. But what is a subject that you think that we can talk about tonight that really irks you about relationships? One subject, if you had to bring one up, what would it be? Would it be communication between each other or when is it time? You know, I mean, just anything. We're going to talk about that after I play this song. So I want you all to think about it. I'm going to go ahead and put this intermission song on. And then once we get back from that, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Hey, I got about 30 more minutes. Sometimes when he comes in.
Every word I'm saying to you.
I'm telling you right now, please stay on.
Hey.
Already weighed up the pros and cons.
And
just the moment
I want
to be with you. Yeah.
I got that, but that's not what they be saying, though. When you talk to them, they're like, well, I ain't looking for somebody that just wanna do me, and that's it. You know, they want to get into a relationship with you, but then they put on their casual relationship. So do they know what the hell casual relationship is?
Maybe they want to be casual until they find somebody who they feel is the right candidate to be the one.
Oh, is that what it is? The right candidate. Okay, so they're
testing the water.
Subliminal. Huh?
They're testing the water.
Wow. Well, I just want to chime in on that because, you know, that shit be fucking me up because they be on there talking about, okay, I want to get with this man. I want a real relationship. I want to be inclusive with you only and shit and all this. But you talking about you want a casual relationship. I mean, you don't say that, but you got that written down on your thing. So if you just want to do me, let me break you off sometime or whatever, then say that. Don't be, you know, what is it that you want?
More often than not, whenever you're online, you don't know kind of what it is you want. You're just kind of playing the field, trying to figure out, you know, what you like, you know. So I think ultimately that's what it is, Red. You know, not to say you're not a handsome guy, but, you know, maybe they're like, okay, well, I want somebody younger, or I want somebody older, or I want somebody, you know what I'm saying? It's always being online allows you to disassociate yourself from everything else. It allows you to be a little impersonal. You know, and sometimes you can be, you know, there are people on there like, ugh, you know, they can be straight asses. You know, so, I mean,
you know,
being online enables that.
Everything that you're saying, I agree with, what both of you said. But the thing is people will say this stuff, and then when you get with them and start talking to them, they don't mean that. That's what I'm talking about. So do they understand what casual relationship is? Because
probably not.
People will say stuff, and they don't know what the fuck they're saying. They just writing some shit down because it sounds good. Like, some of these women and men get out here and be saying, I want this person that's doing this that ain't going to play on me, that's going to be real, and there ain't no games. And then as soon as you be real and be right and not playing games, they don't want you because you ain't playing the games. They want the games. So
what's the thing about it is if you're looking for something real, why the hell are you on the Internet anyway?
Internet.
People can tell you anything they want to tell you. They can become anybody they want to be.
Anybody
they want to
be.
In those first couple weeks, they're going to make it sound really good so they stick your ass with the check at their restaurant.
I got you. I hear you. Let's keep it going. Anybody else?
Well, she hit it right on the head. And, you know, I say that all the time. When you're on the Internet, you can be anybody you want to be. You 5'2" or 300 pounds, guess what? You're a 6'1" model. You know, so, you know, you can be, you know, and like dudes too. You know, every dude online got 8 inches of dick, you know, and that's just real. They're like, yeah, you girl, I'm packing. But it's not real.
You're right, man. You're right. 2 inches from the ground and shit. You're right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I scratch my kneecaps with mine, girl.
Right. So, what gets me is now, I'm going to go by some of the things that I went through in my days of being out there. Well, I'm still out there. What the fuck am I talking about? Anyway, you know, with Black Planet and all this shit, when that was out, remember when that was hot? And you know, everybody put these pictures out and put these things on here, and it don't even be them. It be the pictures like 10 years ago and shit. And, you know, all this stuff is crazy, man. You just see them, you be like, one time, I'm going to tell you what happened to me, and I'm going to let y'all go with it. This one female, I was in Richmond, Virginia. She lived in Charlottesville, which was a little ways away. My ass was thinking she was fine. I was going to go and get her. She wanted to come to this damn party, so I went to drive 2 hours to go get this motherfucker. I mean, this woman. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And nothing against fat women. If she would have told me the truth, it would have been okay. But this woman was 3 times bigger than the picture, okay? And then she going to ask me, is everything okay? I'm like, what the fuck did I say? Hell no. So I turned her ass around and took her right back home
because
she lied. Just be honest.
Why
could
be
fine?
I was about to say that, but you
interrupted
her. What was the reason
car?
You let her get in your car?
You
still
I should have let her get in
your car.
That was being nice.
You still
First of all, I drove 2 miles one way to 2 hours one way to get her, okay? So I didn't want to waste the gas to get all the way up there. And damn, here she is. I mean, like, I was like, okay, look, I can't be nice. I can't be unnice to this woman. I am a man. I have a heart, okay? So I let her get in the car, and maybe I was going to let her see how she was. You know, maybe she had a nice personality. Maybe she was just going through something, that little weight.
Right.
You know, all kinds of shit. You know how we see these damn flags and shit, and we let them, we ignore the flags? Like we always do in relationships. We see flags in the beginning, we ignore the shit, because we think it's going to change as we get through, as we go on. But anyway, so I said, okay, I'm going to go and take her.
It was just fucked up. I shouldn't have. So I ended up turning around, taking her ass back about 30 minutes later. 2 more hours back up and 2 more back. So, you know, it was just, well, I just don't get it. But
so,
anyway.
So, red.
Yes.
So her looks, you started off talking about her size, but it really didn't matter because you still picked her up and you were still going to give her an opportunity. She had
you
a
were.
Attitude, so you took her back.
Right.
Right.
But that was me, though. But everybody don't do that. But the thing is some people see a picture, they think she's fine, they go get her, she's fucked up, they won't even let her know that they the person. But I was just trying to be, I'm terrible. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I just don't know, like DB was saying, you can be whoever the fuck you want to be in a fantasy world, but when it's time to actually come out and show yourself, what are you? You know what I'm saying? So the reason why I asked about the casual relationship thing is a lot of people say that, and I don't think they really know what that means. Some may do, just like she broke it down greatly, absolutely magnificently broke it down the way that I ain't never really heard it broke down, even though I knew it was that. She broke it down in such a magnificent form. The shit need to be patented the way she broke it down. But it's just that people be saying that shit, and I think they really do be wanting to do that, but they worried that somebody going to judge them and shit, especially the way society has women. I think if women could get away with more being open like men, that more would do it openly. Because they do. They just know how to cheat better. So my thing is just that we can't be the way we are. We can't do what we want to do. If casual sex is it, then why not? So,
because
you know, I'm just... Okay.
Look,
go ahead, because I know somebody got some...
I mean, Red, everybody is not as enlightened as you. As black people, we are brought up to think of sex as essentially the Antichrist. You know, sex is everything bad with black relationships. You know, so, I mean, you have to, you know, once you get past that facade and once you get people to understand that, you know, sex is not evil, you know, it'll be a lot different. But, you know, the reason why... You know, we always, as black men, we always talk about white girl and their proclivity towards sex. They don't care. A lot of them have simply gotten past the fact that, you know, sex is taboo. With us, religion dominates who we are. It's a big part of who we, as black people, who we are. And if religion says sex is bad and sex is only reserved for marriage, you're going to have a lot of people who withhold sex or won't tell you that they enjoy sex because they don't want you to think poorly of them.
And you're right, man. That's why I hate the pulpit, man, sometimes, because them preachers be fucking up, be saying shit about you can't eat pussy and you can't do this, you can't do that. They shouldn't be in your motherfucking bedroom anyway. Because it also says in the word, since we're going Bible and shit, that the bed is undefiled if you marry. It's supposed to be now the married bed. I ain't talking about the unmarried bed. That sex should be undefiled with your wife or whatever. So, I mean, don't be telling me my wife can't suck my dick or whatever on all this shit, or she going to go to hell. Don't be saying that shit. Oh, I can't eat her pussy or something. But anyway, you're right. Sex with black people has always been like a taboo thing, especially with church being involved. You're right. You're absolutely correct. But I just want to get some women's opinion on this. And I want to hear from Miss Robin, if she's still here. What do you think about
it?
Yeah.
I feel like, with me personally, I feel like... there's a lack of communication. I believe that communication should be the number one thing in a relationship. Once sex gets involved in it, especially like if it's in the first phase, the early stage of a relationship, that's all it's going to be about is sex. You have to take
right.
time to get to know that person.
You don't need shit when it's dead.
And I mean,
you're
I
right.
find myself, I'm picky. I guess that's why I'm still single and I'm not married, because I still believe that, you know, communication is the number one thing that has to be in a relationship. And it's guys out there that don't want to communicate. They hide things about themselves. You ask them questions about themselves. They feel like you're interrogating them or something. Why do you want to know this? What does it mean to you? Why? And I mean,
what are you asking them? Are you asking them about his damn credit and shit like that? Because I had a motherfucker went down the road on me the other day, boy. What's your credit? Are you on the down low? Did you do that? I knew that. Why was you married so many times? What did you break up? Who divorced who? And all this. I'm like, God damn it, bitch. Still, I'm just trying to say every fucking
thing. See, the thing is, you should know that these are the questions that you need to be answering. You need to be answering.
I know, I'm just hilarious.
Because you're going
to ask whatever you want to. But the thing is okay, it. She's right. Communication is important. But the thing is this girl was just going crazy, and she, I'm like, God damn. What? I know it's an interview, but damn, shit, just give me a couple of days, you know, a couple of dates or something. Find out some shit. She's trying to get it all in one day, you know.
Well, that's somebody whose mama is telling them, that's somebody whose mama is asking them why they ain't married yet. You got some old age type women that they mama in their ear and they just looking to catch something.
That shit turned me off. Only reason why it turned me off, and not because of the questions, because she was being really, really persistent, and it was just like, hell, this is the first time I've seen your ass. You don't know if you're going to see me tomorrow.
Well, you wouldn't know. She already hit up Google.
Yeah.
She already
exactly.
hit up Google. You can find all kind of stuff on Google. You'd be surprised.
I bet. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's not really? Wrong. You're right. Communication is definitely important. And that's what we want to put in this book that we want to design, that we want to write. Is that's one of the key factors that I wanted to talk about is communication. But the thing is, you know, a lot of times the problem with men, and I'm going to say that, well, not all men, but most men with communication, especially when it comes to sexual things, these stupid-ass men think they know every damn thing when they should be trying to listen to the woman so she can tell them what it is that she needs, how to touch her, certain different things. Some of these guys think that all they can do is pound some shit and that's it. You know, you can't just pound. You got to do more than that. You got to be able to take your time. And we talk about this all the time on the show. It's about making it about your mate, taking your time with this person to make sure it's about them. You know, it shouldn't be about you. It should be about them and you trying to satisfy them and getting them what they need, not jumping on top of them, doing one little thing, lick a little bit, and then hump, and then that's it. It's got to be more than that.
We talk about this all the time. The thing is, there's a lot of men who feel, who believe it's the fastest way to get to the finish line. And they'll tell you whatever you need to hear and do whatever you need to take to get to the finish line, but it doesn't matter. There are too many people out there like that. You know what I'm saying? So, and it becomes a domino effect because guess what? That dude going to get the girl that, you know, that you would have treated nicely. So then when you get to her, she's already jaded because the last dude did her wrong. It's the expectation that you're going to do the same thing. So,
exactly.
I mean, it's domino.
You're right.
Wow.
You're right.
But it's a two-way street, too. It's a two-way street. It's not always just
right.
about the woman. It's about equally satisfying the man. And
that's
in
right.
a relationship with the communication, you also have to keep that spark. So if you got to switch it up, you got to switch it up and do what you got to do to please your man and vice versa. But that open line of communication isn't just about, baby, how was your day? It's, you know, baby, what is it going to take to satisfy you as well as you satisfying me? So it's a two-way street.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I said it's take your time. Don't make foreplay be just a few seconds. Make that the whole thing. It's about the journey. That's what it's
exactly.
about. It's not the orgasm. It's the journey. You know, people, they're so worried about this day in this microwave world and shit, and all they want to do is come. You know, I mean, it's more, and then what you got? I mean, it's more than coming. You can come more than once if you take your time. You know, this motherfucker's just trying to hurry up, just like the old cliche, and I know y'all heard this all the time, about the bulls going down there, and there's all these cows, and the bull is up there, and the one old bull said, don't run down there, walk. Because it's the journey, the strength that you're going to have, you go down, you can do all of them if you motherfucking take your time. But if you're going to go down there and run, you're going to use all your energy and shit, and you're going to be fucked up. That's what's wrong with these dudes. They don't get it. I'm sorry.
I've never met one of these kind of guys.
Say what?
I've never met one of these guys you're talking about. One of these slam bam, come fast, I'm all about me. Every relationship I'm in it.
I know a handful of them.
What?
You see, you never met a guy that made it about you?
No, made it about him or was trying to hurry up and get to the finish line or wasn't trying to be 100% fulfilling and make sure he meets all my needs as well as me meeting
him. You've been blessed then, Sonia, because everybody, I'm telling you, you've been blessed. You just met some good guys.
Okay.
There's some motherfuckers out there, and I hear them all the time talking. You know, at least they talk that shit. Maybe they're not doing it. Maybe they're talking one thing and doing something else.
But see, a man is only going to do what a woman allows him to do, too.
That's
so
true, too.
So he can't be 100% at fault because of how he treats her. Because if she allows it, he is going to do it.
I like that. That's true. Let's talk about that. When women want a man to do certain things, how do they persuade him or get him to see that?
I ask.
No persuasion needed.
Yeah, no
persuasion.
There's no persuasion needed. I'll ask because if he wants me to do something, all he's got to do is ask.
Really? Is that simple?
Really?
If you are your grown woman, because
he's not
going to
ask me to do anything stupid. If he knows me, he's not going to ask me to do anything stupid. So whatever he asks, it's going to be done.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Really?
All right.
I'm not going to be with no dude who's going to be like, hey, Sian, can you bring Sabrina home tonight? I'm not playing those kind of games. Or no dude is going to ask me if he knows me. If he knows me, and if we've crossed that line, he knows me. He's not going to ask me to do anything stupid. So why not? It's as simple as asking.
Exactly, within reason.
Okay. Well, ladies, all of y'all agree with that?
I do.
So all we got to do is ask you. And it,
if
and
you're
if
a
it's
good
within,
dude.
You know, no. She said within reason. That is the catch.
That's what
that
I said.
Is,
I'm
that
saying that. If it's within reason, then you will do it.
Absolutely.
So I assume that this has already been discussed of what the within reason is, so it shouldn't be no secret coming out anyway, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
For me, no, because if you know me, all right, Red, you kind of know me.
I do, baby.
Can you see a dude I'm dating coming to me asking me something really stupid? I mean, that
no,
would
be no, they ain't gonna ask you no shit like that. Not you, Sonya. Hell no.
I just don't see it.
I know you.
Every dude I've dated has been extremely respectful of me, and I'm extremely respectful of my man. I treat my men like
When you demand respect, you get respect.
Exactly. Bottom line, if you respect yourself, then respect is given.
Right.
Okay. I got you. So what's an example of a woman that ain't getting no respect then? Motherfucker beating her ass or something? What? Fucking her all kinds of ways and telling everybody? What was the example?
A woman that ain't getting no respect is plain and simple. You can look at what is all across the television today, reality TV. Even though a lot of it is scripted, then women get no respect.
Or, like, I can go one step further because as a man, you know, who talks to women on a regular basis, like, I will always approach a woman with respect. You know, if you show me you deserve respect, I will give you respect, you know. But if I say, hello, how are you doing, and you turn your nose at me, I mean, a fine, you know, no thank you will suffice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, those are the kind of things that you kind of like, well, you know, you just kind of just shrug your shoulders at. Because you know, if you don't like me, that's fine. But at least acknowledge that I said hello. You know what I'm saying? And that's all it is.
I agree with you on that one because, I mean, yeah, if you don't like me, that's fine. But still, I'm being nice enough to say hi to you. And you can detect if somebody like you or not, or they don't want to be bothered. You know, just say hello and keep going or whatever. But the thing is sometimes people just think that some of these women, not all of them, and I guess men too, I don't know because I ain't never seen a man do this, but I guess some of them just think that a man always want to talk to me. They always in my face. They always I can't go nowhere because somebody's always in my face. They're always trying to get with me. I can't go in the club and sit down and enjoy music because dude is in my face or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know. I understand that to a point. But my point is if you really don't want to be bothered, then maybe you want to go somewhere where that's not going to be instead of acting in an attitude. What do y'all think about that? Because, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you get these women, sometimes you go in the club, and I don't bother a lot of people, but you might just be saying, like you said, just saying hi, and look at you, they want to turn their nose up at you and shit and all this, and, you know, I mean, yeah.
But that's one place. Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I have friends who think all their power is in their looks and between their legs, so if you start thinking like that, even though it's a real sign of weakness, they're lacking the intelligence or the strength to put themselves up on a pedestal and let themselves know I'm more than what you see here. You got to feel me on the inside. So females who carry themselves like that and all they have, or at least all they think they have, is their external beauty, those are generally the ones who act like that. They just put themselves in a different area, and they're too good for everybody. They look better than all their friends, you know, and I'm too good for this dude, this dude, and this dude. But it's actually, in my opinion, it's a sign of weakness. And I have a couple of friends like that. And, I mean, it's sad to me because I'm friendly to everybody, but it's sad to me. You're so high up in your own mind, when are you ever going to find anything good enough for you? That means you're going to be lonely for a long time. So,
right. Let me see if we got a question. Then please don't hang up, please. Area code 810. Do you have a question? Please don't hang up.
Hey, Reverend Toy Honey.
Hey, Toy Honey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Just sitting back and listening to
y'all. You want to join the conversation, or do you have a question? You can still do that too.
Allison's going to listen.
Okay. Well, we thank you for calling in, Miss Toy Honey, and we always enjoy having you on the show.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Okay, I'm just going to let you listen since you don't want to talk shit with us tonight.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
But go ahead. But to springboard off of something that was previously said, you know, what amazes me is how women who go to the club want to be by themselves. You're at a freaking club, you know, and that just befuddles me to no end. You know, where they want to dance by themselves, be by themselves, but then be in the middle of a club. You know, and I still don't get that. And, you know, for the life of me, I can't understand it. I mean, I don't go to clubs anymore because I'm, you know, I'm kind of outgrew them. But
hey,
even when I did.
Here he is.
You know, like, I don't do it as much as I used to. You know, when back in the day, you know, it was so completely different. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of good that's going to come out of the club nowadays. Let's just be honest. Nothing good happens after 12 o'clock. You know?
Well, I'm going to tell you where I go. I go because I like the two-step. We do two-stepping in Kansas City, okay? And I love two-stepping. I like to go and get out there and dance. Not necessarily have to be getting with nobody. You know, I just go on to dance. But, you know, I mean, there's certain reasons why people go. Maybe they go for looking for somebody. Maybe they go because they just want to be in the atmosphere. I don't know why. I got that same question you got. Why do women go that don't want to be bothered to the club, of all places? I don't know, but, I mean, you know, they have their reason, whatever. Maybe the women can elaborate on that.
Well, I know personally me, and this is Pinelli, I do go to the clubs. I go every now and then. I don't go, like, every weekend or anything like that. But, you know, when I go for the environment and, you know, hang out with my friends and everything. I don't go to meet a guy because you meet a guy in a club, you know, you have to stop and think about it. He tried to get your number. He tried to get her number. And it's like, you know, you can't find anything in the club. What you find in the club is exactly what you're going to get, a booty call.
Well, let me ask you this. I hear women say that all the time. Well, what's the difference in going to a church or going to a grocery store? He gets this number, he gets that number. He's still doing the same shit, just a different environment. So what's the difference? What's the club going to make a difference in that? Because it's known that he really wants
the club,
to,
you know.
No, it's the ambiance.
Now, I'm a little different. I think that you can meet a good person anywhere. I mean, if I was at the club, because I'm not a clubber either, but if I was at the club, I'm a good person. You know, so
yeah,
I don't want people to look at me and think, oh, man, she's in the club, so she can't be good. I'm a good person. So, I mean, I think you can meet a good person anywhere.
Right. But see, there's the difference. Can. You can, but it's just it comes down to probability. The likelihood that you're going to meet somebody good in the club is not so great. I mean, you know, you can meet, you know, somebody taking out your garbage or, you know, you can meet somebody at a swingers club. But the likelihood that it's going to be a good relationship is not great.
And
not
a
not
great.
With
club,
the intention behind it is the sole purpose of that meeting. You know what I mean? If by chance you do meet somebody in the club, 9 times out of 10, it's going down.
Right. Exactly.
Man, maybe for women, for dudes, it's more like 2 out of 10. Maybe 3 if you're lucky.
Oh man, I don't know, man. You know, I hear this on both sides. I hear that it's either, and what I'm hearing, maybe I missed it, but I'm hearing it's either for a guy to get a girl or a girl get a guy. I don't know. My thing is I don't know. You know, there are good people in the club. There are some dogs in the club, but I think they're everywhere. I mean, you can go to church and get the same thing. You know, it's just. You know, you just got to, I don't know how you work this. You just got to, I mean, I guess it's more known if you're at the club because it's the signature of going to meet somebody and trying to do a booty call or sleep with them that night or whatever. I have yet to do that. I've never done that, actually. I've never done that. Not that I want to, but, I mean, I hear people talking about they get these booty calls and shit and go to breakfast. And that shit don't happen to me for some reason. I don't know. I ain't never had that. But anyway. Not that I mean, I'm not looking for that, but
it's that like you are.
I'm sensing the Freudian slip.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, okay. Call it what you want to, but anyway. No, I mean, I guess it is looked upon as if you go to the club, I guess everybody's looking for that. They're dancing with you. They want to get with you. They want to get your number. So it's automatically known that they want to fuck that day. Not they want to do it next week. Not they just want to take you out to dinner and maybe get to know you, but they want some pussy.
Come on.
Is that the case all the time? Not for me. No. First of all, I want to know somebody. I mean, I know it may not sound like that because I write the books I write and all that, but I kind of want to get to know the person because, hell, I might not like them next week. Once I get to talking to them and find out some shit, I might not want to fuck them. They might say something to make me not want to fuck them.
Hell, if you meet them in a club, by the time you get out to the parking lot where the lights are, you might not want to meet them anyway.
Absolutely. There you go. You know what I'm saying?
Red, you need to play the sounder for that one because that's true. That's true.
Say it again. Say it again. You're right, though, where the lights are out and then you come outside and the light is on. Mm-hmm. They might not look good. You're right.
I know, but Red, you don't care as long as they got a good personality, right?
Oh no.
The fugly.
You come outside.
You picked up the girl that you were talking about earlier.
Oh, you talking about me? That was cute until I saw her. I mean, she still was cute. She was just a quite larger than she's just looked like on the picture. I mean, if she was
real, though, you were still feeling her, because if you wasn't feeling her, you wouldn't have let her get in the car. It was her attitude that turned you off once she got there.
No, it was wasting 2 hours worth of gas.
Break your ear right now. If she was going to break your hips, Red would have been like,
right.
Cool.
Exactly. He still thought he was going to hit it. You had like a Friday moment, but you didn't turn her around. You didn't do the whole smoky thing and turn her around.
He said a Friday moment.
Let me tell you something. I could have got the ass. I just didn't want to because it was just too much. It was too much lie in it. And that's the problem. I think, you know, even whether it's online or not, I mean, I think that, and we talk about this before on here too, if you just put everything on the table in the beginning and talk about it and stick to that, then, you know, you can go with that. But a lot of times people's feelings get involved after they put things on the table, after they've been involved for a minute, feelings is going to get involved. You have to renegotiate this shit.
But the thing about it is when you're dealing with an online relationship or something of that nature, people are already insecure as it is. And to divulge those insecurities when they don't know how that person is going to take them, that's a little hard for some people to handle.
Yeah.
So they'd rather deal, you know, get some type of emotional attachment to that person before they start to shed those layers as to who they really are.
But see, this is what I've learned. Oh, what's up, man?
I'm just going to say this real quick. This is off the subject. You know how Facebook had it where they want you to poke people and shit? Why they be having dudes poking dudes? They had me want to poke you. You had to cut that shit off. Okay, go ahead.
No, like I said, you know, I say this, you know, whenever I get the opportunity. When I was growing up, the thought was that, you know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. You know, we heard that everywhere I went, all the time. Way to a man's heart through his stomach. So I grew up with a bunch of women that knew they were around the kitchen. You know, nowadays there are no women that know they're wearing women. They're hardened.
No,
younger women.
I can cook.
You got
I love how y'all jump in before the brother finishes with his thought.
Go ahead, man.
My point is this. Nowadays, there are, especially younger women, there's this overwhelming thought that the way that a man's heart is below your belt and above your knees. So a lot of these women are breaking their back trying to be that person, and they know nothing about holding down a fort. So after the man gets exactly what they're offering them, they wonder why there's nothing left. You know, and so
before everybody was jumping down my throat, that's what I was about to say.
Those are girls masquerading as women.
But you have to admit, there are a lot of women out there, especially us, who don't know they wear around the house. Like, my mother was kind of harsh on me and my sister. We had to cook, clean, wash, so hold down the fort. And if we didn't have dinner by the time they got home, it was pretty much lights out. You know, so, I mean, I can do those things. But I don't see that as me being less of a man. You know, I just know how to take care of myself. And I don't want anybody to have to come in and say, well, you know, to have to come take care of me. But what I do appreciate is somebody who can hold a fort down in the kitchen, who can cook, who's, you know, hot dogs and beans is not dinner. You know what I'm saying? All the time. I don't mind a little Franks and beans, you know, every now and then, but still.
I agree with that.
Well, you know, DV, I'm glad that I learned how to cook and I am a chef. And I don't depend. I never could understand a man sitting there talking about I'm hungry and shit.
I'm hungry and did not do nothing.
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, that is just terrible. It just burns me up when I hear that. You know,
like,
and
I got a friend whose definition of dinner is cereal. Like, dude, learn how to cook. The instructions are on the side of the freaking box. It's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, it's just crazy, man. What gets me is the dude that'll sit there. I got a brother, man. He'll sit there and be like, "Shane, you cook no dinner." Well, nigga, get up and cook. What are you waiting on her to feed
hungry.
You for?
He ain't hungry.
Yeah,
that's
apparently
not hungry enough.
Wait,
not
you forgot to throw
enough.
The enough. He ain't hungry enough.
That's it.
I tell you, when that brother get real hungry, he'll learn how to burn something.
Well, he gonna learn how to cook.
Exactly.
But you got some women like that, though, now. I done ran into some women that don't want to cook for the damn. They just want you to cook for them. They want men to cook for them.
Right, because there's a lot of women who think that what they got between their legs will support them for the rest of their life. And, you know, it takes more than that to sustain a relationship. And then when the women get those dudes, they wonder why the dudes always cheating on them. You know, it's like, you know, well, I got him by in the bed. I ain't got no other skills. So, you know, why isn't he staying home? Why isn't he, you know, I know a lot of dudes who have money. And the women that they are around who just, you know, look good, who don't have any other skill set, they kind of like, okay, well, that's fine. You don't have the skill set. You can spend my money, and I'm going to just go ahead and do what I need to do with girl X, Y, and Z. And I just shake my head at it.
But again,
it's
allowed.
Damn.
That goes back to the original conversation. I raised two girls, like I was saying earlier. I have a 14-year-old and a 22-year-old. And from the very beginning, I cook everything from scratch. Everything. I don't have boxed macaroni and cheese or whatever. Mm-hmm. If we want macaroni and cheese, I make it from scratch. So, anyway, I made sure my girls were in the kitchen with me and that they learned to cook. But at the same time, I've always paid all the bills. Now, I've been divorced for a couple of years and take care of everything, but I make sure they know life's not easy, but it's whatever you make it to be. You're going to know how to cook. You're going to know how to handle your own bills, how to handle money, period. How to do the things you need to do to not only take care of yourself, but if you get married, to treat your man like you should treat a man, but that's also give and take, like we were saying earlier. Ain't nothing wrong with a man getting in the kitchen cooking sometimes.
cleaning, doing whatever he needs to do for the household.
Well, basically, spouses are supposed to complement each other anyway. So
right.
It's a full give and take in the kitchen, in the bedroom, anywhere else. Both of you should be able to pull and take the best from each other.
Absolutely.
Like, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Everybody says 50-50, but you can't always do that. You know what I'm saying? But you can always pick up where somebody is lacking. And, you know, you're supposed to be able to support each other and compliment each other.
Exactly.
And that sounds good, but I know when I was growing up that it wasn't 50-50. Only reason why, because the attitude of the house was the mother. If she was sick, then the house was fucked up. If she was mad, then the atmosphere was fucked up in the house because mama's mad. If she was cheery, then everything was good. Is it still like that today?
Yeah.
No, because I ain't married. But anyway. Yeah. You know, it's just what it is. But you're right, though. It should be 50-50, and it should be, you know, people trying to work it out together and take up slack. Sometimes a person might not feel good. You know, you want to, or just do it just because. I mean, what I used to do when I was married, y'all, I was, like, if I got home first, I made sure dinner was done first. Shit like that. But, I mean, you know, some people don't do that. I know dudes that'll be at home first a couple of hours, and they wait for the wife to get home. She got to get home, and she got to cook and...
After she got from work, got home from working. So it just depends. What, like you said, what the woman lets happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just crazy. You know, and some people's look of love is, and it comes on with the examples that you've seen too. You know, what you've seen, what you think love is how you're going to react. So,
right.
You know, it's just, I don't know. Like, if you think getting hit is love, because you've seen it, and that's what you thought love was, then you might expect that. If a man ain't hitting you, believe it or not,
that's what you
expect. That way. If a man ain't hitting you, then you don't want his ass. There's some women that actually believe that way. Today, 2012. You know? So, I don't know.
I've met women who felt like if a man didn't argue with you, he didn't love you. You know, because me, I'm kind of nonchalant. Like, if you're right, you're right. If you're wrong, you know, screw it. I don't feel like arguing all the time. But, you know, I've put off women because they like, you give up too easily. It's like not giving up. You know, there's a point where you will, you know, if you believe in something wholeheartedly, you fight for that. But every other thing doesn't need to be fought for. You know, you don't need to be fighting for the sake of fighting, you know,
right.
And like I've met women who feel like if you're not fighting with your mate, they don't love you. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Crazy.
Well, you know, they use that makeup sex as an excuse because they want to make up. Some do. Some like that makeup sex, you know, or whatever, but whatever.
Well,
I mean, you know, everybody
can between makeup sex and just straight up good sex. Why can't you just have
good
sex? Why does it have to be makeup sex?
Yeah, and I agree with you totally, because I don't want to fucking argue.
Exactly.
I want to fuck. Or I want to make love, or whatever. You know, I mean, sometimes you want to fuck. Sometimes you want to make love. But I'm just saying, you're right. Why can't you just have sex or just be together? Why does it have to be something to go wrong and shit, and then you
do it? Exactly. Why waste 20 minutes out of your life? Life is already short enough. Why waste 20 minutes out of your life arguing when that could have been 20 minutes when you were tearing down the headboard?
Exactly. What you say about that,
because
Cotton?
Some people like you angry.
Come on, Cotton. What you got to say about that? She still there? Wow, she must be gone. Okay, go ahead.
Some people just like angry.
Anybody,
angry.
Any other lady got something to say on that? Because I know that headboard is one of them great things. How y'all feel about getting hit in the headboard, and, you know, how y'all feel about that? That's a dumbass question. But anyway, and nobody's going to respond. Look at y'all. Y'all going to let me be silly by myself?
Well, how do you feel
about
headboard
it? My headboard is padded.
Exactly.
I was just asking that question.
Since she brought up the headboards, I mean, how do y'all feel about that, getting hit the headboards, you know?
My headboard
never
is padded. My headboard is padded.
Yeah, it's not just about the wood car
headboard.
Padded.
It's
okay.
Yeah, it's called thinking ahead.
There you go. That's good.
They're thinking about
okay.
your head.
Yeah. But what I'm going to do right now, y'all, is I really appreciate y'all. We got 14 minutes. So what I want to do is I want to give each of the ladies a chance to retell people about their websites, how they can get their books, where they're going to be doing book signings or anything that's coming up so that people can get in contact with you just in case they want to talk to you about your books and as well as other subjects because they now know that you're more versed than just your books. So we'll start with Pinelli, and then we'll get Mika, and then we'll get Sony.
Okay. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Queen2Urban. And my Facebook is Pinelli.Queen2Urban. And, again, I'm on a lot of the websites where you can order my book. Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I know, are two of the biggest ones. And be looking for my second book that I'm hoping to drop this fall, Vengeful Karma, which is the sequel to my first book, A Diamond in the Rough, The Life of Shine a Star. And
well, let me know if you have any issues with trying to get it dropped. I know you've been doing it yourself, but if you just talk to me if you need help, okay?
I got you.
Because we can help you if you need it. Also, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I hope that you got a little more relaxed and that we didn't scare you, and I want you to come back, okay?
Yes, I had fun tonight. Thank you for inviting me on the show. I mean, I got a good laugh, especially when we start talking about relationships, you know?
Exactly.
But,
so don't
I mean,
leave yet. The show's not over yet, but I just was wanted to get that in real quick. Okay, so Mika. Mika.
Mika. My book is Chocolate High, the sequel, Caramel Addiction.
Love that title.
Very soon. Thank you. You can hit me up on Facebook at author Mika Barnes, on Twitter at Mika Barnes, at my website, MikaBarnes.com. My books can be purchased on my website, also through Barnes & Noble, as well as Amazon.com and anywhere else books are sold. My next event is actually going to be the Tom Joyner Family Reunion. I'll be at the full weekend. And, just looking forward to making some big things happen.
And you will.
Thank you.
Listen, with that chocolate high, they're going to be on that shit. Okay. Sonia?
SoniaArtist.com. I'm on Facebook. I have a book page on Facebook. My book's everywhere, just about. My next events this month, I'll be on one of the local channels here in Kansas City, Wednesday. I've been asked to be a part of the Urban Film Festival, so it kicks off in Los Angeles in August, and then here in September, and New York in December. There was a short movie made.
You cut off for a minute. Still there? Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. Okay, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
What was the last thing you heard?
The last thing you said that you was something in New York and was doing the Urban
Festival? Oh, yeah, the Urban Film Festival. And they'll be showing a short movie that a movie producer did based off my first book, and they'll be showing the short movie they did off my second book at the Urban Film Festival. And I'll be in South Carolina at the end of the month speaking at a conference, a two-day conference. And that's it for this month, a couple of radio shows.
Well, goddamn, you're doing a lot of stuff. Well, you know I got to mess with you. I'm proud of you. I really am. I'm glad that you are doing the things that you do and getting the word out about your life and the way you wrote the book. Even though it's considered a nonfiction book, it's still considered. It's kind of weird because it's still fiction, but it's nonfiction because it's true. It's that the characters are fiction.
Yeah, so the names have changed.
And it's amazing how you did it and the way you did it. I just love that. So
thank you.
You know, all you ladies, I want y'all to keep on writing and never, never let nobody tell you that you ain't shit. Just write. And one thing about writing, well, I'm serious. You got people out there that are trying to tell you that, or you got other authors that are trying to play you down, stuff like that. This game is not easy. It's just like the music business of any other game. It's the same way. It's ran the same way. And, you know, a lot of people, they try to look down on those who self-publish and stuff like that. But, you know, you and an author just like they are. There's no difference. There's nothing different about you and them. Actually, I respect you more that self-published than those who didn't with a mainstream company, because you did it and did it on your own, whereas they had somebody had to do it for them. So all this stuff that they trying to say and talk and put you down with, I'm just not with that, because, you know, you've shown that you have the will and the determination to get your craft out there. So, you know, you got to keep doing it. You got to keep pushing. So that's why I admire you all, and I want you to keep on going with it. And don't ever, never, ever let nobody tell you that you ain't what you are, because they ain't. You know, people that do all these, just remember, too, most of the people that's doing these reviews ain't wrote shit.
This is true.
Ain't wrote one book. Just remember that, okay?
But also remember this. We are all, you know, the only way we get better is by mastering our craft, by being better every time we do something. So, you know, always, never feel, it's going to be hard. It is. Every so often you're going to be like, man, shit, I'm tired. I feel like quitting. I don't feel like writing. It's going to come. But work past it and be better and have better and do better, because everybody wants to read your story. You know, but and damn everybody else who got something negative to say about it. It's going to happen, but that should make you stronger. That should make you want to make them shut their mouths up than when you put out your next book, or even if you just want to re-edit your current book, so be it. You know, but the only way you're going to get better is to do better. And right. You know, and Red 10 books in, he 10 books in, and he constantly do better. I'm 3 books in, and I'm constantly better than my first book. You know what I'm saying? That's all that we need to do. Constantly be better than what you did before, because you're only as good as what you put out.
Absolutely, because I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I'm going to give you this real quick, and then I'm going to get ready to let y'all go. I was at a conference here in Kansas City when I first wrote my first book, okay? I was at this conference. There was some mainstream authors there. There were some other authors, you know, trying to come up and everything. I had my book. It was already published and everything, and I was there. And they was trying to make me feel like I wasn't shit. They were like, you know, okay, you put a book out, so what? You know, you ain't nobody. I'm the better person because I'm with this main company or whatever. Well, if I would have sat there and listened to them people and not took that to push harder, I wouldn't have had nothing but that one book, and it probably wouldn't, nobody would even know nothing about it. But now I'm 12 books, not 10, DB. 12 books out.
Oh, my bad,
now,
man.
Okay?
I forgot you had a couple out this summer.
And this happened, that's right, and this happened. This was in 2009 when I first started writing to publish. And here I am in 2012, and I don't give a fuck. I got my own company because of that, okay? I started my own company, and I got now authors under me that are working with me, and they're getting their stuff out, and I'm helping them do what they need to do, because I believe in people who love to write, and I'm not going to let them give up, just like I almost did because somebody told me or played me off. So I'm just saying this because I want you all to keep going forward, and don't let nobody stop you, or if you get a bad review, hey, that's part of you growing. Just keep going. Everybody's not going to like your shit. They just not. Just get it in your mind. Everybody's not going to like your book.
But
you know,
even if they did,
Exactly.
Yeah,
you just got to keep pushing. If you love writing, do it because of that. Never do it because of money. Money will come, but do it because you love it. You know, I mean, if somebody comes to me and tell me they want to write, and the first thing come out their mouth is they doing it because they want to get paid, I don't give a fuck how good the book is. I tell them to get away from me, because you got to love this to do this, because it's love to do this. Because it's a lot of work putting the book together, as y'all know. So my thing is you know, you got to do this, and you got to really love your craft, make sure it gets edited well and all that, you know, and put it out there the best way you can. It ain't going to be perfect, even if you get it edited 4 or 5 times, but still, try to put the best piece of work out there you can and promote it, because you have to promote, you the brand, not the book. So you just got to get that, get you out there. Once people know who you are, they're going to read your books. Like Zane, for instance. We'll use her. Always do. She can put out a book, Zane Presents. She ain't wrote it. Person, you might not even heard of the person that wrote the book, but you're going to buy it because it says Zane Presents. It might be garbage, but because Zane's name is on it, people buy it. So that's what we're saying. That's the thing that you want to get your, to where you want to get in this. So with all that, and now I'm going to get off the soapbox. Does anybody have anything they want to say before we prepare to get ready to go? Because I got a song that I'm going to play at the end that my son did. He produced, and I'm proud because my son is a producer. He's trying to get out there with music. I'm going to put his song. Yes. Go ahead.
They need to drop the websites.
Oh. Go ahead and put your websites out. Yeah, did they put their websites out?
Yeah, in our little field.
End of the show, yeah. And just in case, for the end of the show, just go ahead and let us know your website so for all the people listening, it's fresh in their minds.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah.
www.mikabarnes.com.
SonyaArtist.com.
That's right. I like that site, too.
Yeah, it's a nice site. Hey,
Go ahead, Sonya.
No, I didn't know she didn't say her website.
No, I was just trying to see if she was going to say anything. Is she still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, do you have a website, sweetie?
I am working to get a website. I'm working on it.
Okay. Get with me, because I think I want to help you. Okay?
Yes, I'll get in touch with you.
Okay, all right. Sonya, go ahead.
First thing, it's like 2 hours past my bedtime, but this was thrilling. I go to bed so early because I get up to go running at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ben Franklin said it best, early to bed, early to rise.
I get up early. I hit the pavement. I run my 3 to 4 miles every morning. But A Diamond in the Rough and Chocolate High, I'll definitely get both of these books this week because I am a firm believer in supporting other writers.
Definitely.
Especially new ones. And as soon as I get them, I will read them because I'm not writing right now. I probably won't start my book until I have to wait till the boot hits me. And it hasn't hit me yet. So when I read books, I do post them on my Facebook page. And I'm not big on a lot of friends, but the people mm-hmm. on my page, they really, they seem to gravitate sometimes to what I think about a book. So I'll do that. I'll order both these books this week and support you ladies.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I do.
All right. Well, we thank you all for coming on the show. DeeVee, we thank you for coming. Cotton dropped off. She must have had something to do. We thank her for coming because we've been missing her. But this is what we do on the show. We usually get a little wild. Our week was wild tonight, but we usually get really wild out sometimes. But, you know, anytime you've been on here once, you can call in anytime. If you've got a new book coming out, just contact me. Let me know that you want to come on the show. We'll get you here. We'll promote you. If you want to come on for a few minutes or if you want a whole segment, just get with me. You know how to get in contact with me. You can do that, okay? So I thank y'all for coming on. I'm going to play my son's song. It's called 8-Ball. It's something that he produced, and I'm kind of proud of it. He's got a few songs out there. He's trying to get big out here in the music business. So I thank y'all for calling
in. Just so you know, 8-Ball has been taken.
Next time.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
8-Ball has been taken.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.